I know it's real, amen. Take your Bibles, if you would. This morning, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I know it's real. Amen. No. That old, old story. And the great part about it is if it's real, if one thing's real, then it's all real. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 this morning. Title of the message today for the tape room is Reaching the Unreached Mind. Reaching the Unreached Mind. You know, we live in a day and age where I've heard this term over and over again, and I'll speak about it, but you've heard this term, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Amen? And there's truth to that, is it not? But when the mind is unreached, it doesn't matter how much you fill it up with, it'll be wasted in eternity. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning before we dive into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, as I come to you this morning, Lord, I pray that you'd help my voice, Lord, to hold out, and that it might be something that would be able to lift you up, preach the message that you've asked me to preach this morning, Lord. And I pray, God, I thank you for my voice. And Lord, sometimes we're so unthankful for the things that we take for granted that you've given us every day. Lord, I pray that you'd be with it now. Be with those that hear, Lord. I pray, Lord, that your word, your gospel, your message would go into their ears and find its way through their mind to their heart today. And that it would find good ground and it would take faith and faith would spring up, Lord, and that would remind us if we're saved that we need to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if there be some who have never accepted Christ, I pray, Lord, that you pull the blinders off of them today and that their mind would realize it's real and that they would accept Jesus as their Savior and be saved. We ask it in the name above every name. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, Paul begins the chapter under the inspiration of God with therefore. Therefore always comes because there's something that came before it. And we won't go back and preach the But he's talking about, in chapter 3, the ministry of the Spirit of God through the Christian's life. That when we get saved, that we get a power that we never had before, not just to be saved and to be, and what I can say is just to yield ourselves to the Spirit, that the Spirit might take control of the flesh, but that same Spirit can be a witness and can empower us to manifest to others the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we miss it so many times because we're so focused on what Jesus is doing in me, because if you're honest with yourself this morning, you do realize he's still working on me. He's still working on you. But the more that he works on you, others can see that you aren't what you used to be. We can manifest something that we were not before we got saved, but we are now in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, he's speaking about what I just explained. We have the ministry of the Spirit. He says, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, we had Bible conference this week, and we've had, for me anyway, for many of our staff and others, if you came out every night, that is a weariness of the flesh. And it's empowering, it's exciting when you hear the messages, and you get encouraged, but for us, the week didn't end there. We had a Spanish Bible conference, and we had night after night over there, and for those of us that went over there, we had things with school, and you had things with your children at school, and we had a busy week. And if we're not careful, we'll approach Anniversary Sunday, and what upcoming is really the day that we press and we spend our time and the church's money and invest in the ministry that God has called and commanded us or given us. And that's the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make manifest the Spirit of God through ourselves, that others may see the invisible God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to say this morning, that the whole message is not about this, but right here in the Scripture, He lays open to us that because we've received mercy, and let me just say this, even through the Bible conference, it may have been a weariness to the flesh, but His mercies were new every morning if you came and you sat in the building and you heard the good word of God flow from the pulpit and from God's word in this place. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, we have mercy, having received mercy. I got saved a long time ago, but morning after morning after morning, when I opened His word, the same word that brought me to a place of accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior, it didn't stop giving mercy. It gives more mercy as I go on. Day after day, mercy to meet the challenges of the day. There was a great message preached on grace and truth, and grace's job is to bring us to the truth. Mercy's job is to help me stay in the fight while I'm trying to get grace to bring people to the truth. Because I have mercy, because I've received mercy. Let me ask you, did you receive mercy today? Through the Word of God. Now listen, on Sunday you come and have mercy dealt to you. From Sunday school and from the pulpit, but mercy on Sunday ain't going to get you through the week. Mercy on Sunday won't bring other people to the place where they go, there's something different about you. You listen, we get back like we used to be by Tuesday. That's why we have a midweek service. That's why the preachers have said long before I was ever born that it takes three to thrive. Yeah. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, so that we can store up some mercy for the week. Because this old world will bury us. This whole world is full of tribulation and trials. We need mercy so that we don't faint. He said, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have, look at this, renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Now, I don't want to be mean to you this morning, but I'm just going to do what God told me to do. Because I'm His man, not your man. Now, I'd like to be your pastor, amen, if you'll let me. But long before I was your pastor, I was His man. And I plan on being His man. Amen? But I'd still like to be your pastor. You know the hidden things of dishonesty? You know what that means for the Christian? That things you're hiding from everybody. Dressing up and saying, this is what I am. But I'm not really being honest. He said, renounce them. You know, renouncing things all the time isn't always that I didn't still go by there and do it. It just means I hate myself when I go by there and do it. I've renounced them. I told them I ain't coming back here, but sometimes I still go back. But thank God for mercy. But you know what it takes to stop going places? To stop doing the things that you don't want to do, that you know that don't make God happy, and they don't make you happy anymore now that you're saved. Renouncing them. Saying, I'm done with it. Now, my daddy, I remember as a boy, one day he walked down an old-fashioned aisle and left a pack of cigarettes on the altar. Preacher didn't want them. He didn't pick them up, smoke them. It was a sign. My daddy walked down and said, I'm renouncing this. It didn't mean that somebody didn't try to give him one, and I'm not even saying that he didn't ever smoke another one. But there was a day in his life where he said, I got to get rid of this. This isn't something I want. It doesn't make God happy, and it don't make me happy no more. And he walked down an old-fashioned aisle, and he left it there and renounced it and said, I'm not doing this anymore. This isn't who I am anymore. This doesn't manifest Jesus Christ to the world. Nobody's going to get saved because I'm a smoker. The contrary is going to happen. Because it's been said this week during the preaching of Bible conference, do you know that the world has a pretty good list? They ain't even read this book, but they know how a Christian ought to live. Just ask them. They'll write you a good list. They might even write you a longer list than the pastor would. He said, the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. You know, if you determine to keep a secret from your fellow Christians and your family, you know how you're going to have to walk? Not by faith, but in craftiness. I'm going to keep doing this thing instead of renouncing it and try to hide it. I'm going to put it everywhere that I don't think they are, so that I can keep this tucked away and hidden from God. But God desperately wants you to take the power and mercy that he's given you so you don't faint. Hey, you know who falls along the wayside? People who are trying to live a dishonest Christian life. And listen, I didn't even plan on saying this morning, but the Lord put this together with the song this morning. When it's real, you don't have to live in dishonesty. Real will lead you to renounce these hidden things of dishonesty. I'm not saying that they don't come. I'm just saying, listen, it'll keep you from having to walk in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully. Look at what he says, but by manifestation of the truth. Do you know what happens when you apply the truth to your life and you renounce the hidden things of darkness and you apply the good word of God, that God can do all things through Christ? Do you know, I spent some time with our Spanish folks over there, and I was sitting at lunch, and Brother Gomez and I were talking, but he was talking about the Spanish Bible that we use, and then there's a false 1960 Bible that, and I need you to pray with us about this. I really believe that we as English-speaking people ought to be a matter of prayer, that God ought to uncover this hidden thing of dishonesty and fundamentalism. We live in a day and age where most people and most large, independent, fundamental Bible-believing churches still use a corrupt Spanish Bible because they've hidden themselves. They put a blinder on and say, I don't speak Spanish. Well, neither do I, but I can tell you when it reads like the RSV, it's not the King James, and it ain't perfect. And sticking your head in the sand because you don't speak Spanish. For me, if I'm going to have people that we preach to in a different language, they need an every word Bible just like I got. Hey, I'm just going to tell you. He said, he sat there with me and he said, you know, where it says, I can do all things through Christ. You know, their grammar's not the same as ours. And that 1960 said, it pretty much just said that God can do all things. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. That's not as powerful when I realize as a Christian that I can do all things through Christ Jesus. How is it encouraging if I can just say God can do all things? I knew that before it ever stated it. But what I didn't know is that I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know the Spanish? He said, we had to fix that because in that Bible, he said, they corrupted it and took out anything that had to do with personal gain in spiritual strength. And he said, we added the word with. In their grammar, they added that with Christ, we can do all things. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, it ain't never going to read just like ours because their grammar is backwards. But you know what you can't leave out? You can't leave out that God can do all things and that through Christ we can do all things with him. You can't leave that out. You say, preacher, why'd you get off on that? Because listen, I'm just going to tell you, the manifestation of the truth is something that's our ministry. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, a spiritual ministry, when God changes us, if we don't get rid of the hidden things of dishonesty, we'll keep lying to ourselves. We'll keep lying to ourselves and we'll let those folks that have been blinded by the God of this world, the scripture says, look at it with me. He says it manifested of the truth. He said, look at commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Look at this. The image of God should shine unto them. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to tell you today that when you believe on Jesus Christ, Romans 10:10 is still in the book, that the man believes with his heart unto righteousness. But you know what it takes before you'll ever turn your heart loose and believe? It takes a convincing that it's real in your mind. And there's a lot of good people in this world who have a good heart. I have met them. I've ministered to them. I have loved them and tried to serve them and try to witness to them. But their mind is blinded by the God of this world. They have a heart for things, people, animals, giving, but they're lost and on their way to a devil's hell. Let me just say again, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Do you know that in this life, we said that, you know, that was a statement that Arthur Fletcher, the head of the United Negro College Fund, made popular. He was raising funds and trying to send young people to college because there were all kinds of scholarships, but they weren't being given away equally. People weren't always getting them because of the color of their skin and who they were. Hey, folks, you know, he wanted that thing. He wanted to try to have people be able to go to college, and he used the term, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Do you know the devil knew that long before he ever made that statement? Then the devil realized, if I could just blind the minds of people. Do you know, listen, there has never been a day and age where information is as easy to gain. College has never been more accessible than in this age. There's not ever been more colleges than we have today. That doesn't mean that people are smarter. That doesn't mean that as Americans, we have a good grip on reality. In fact, the opposite is true. The more educated this world has become, the farther and farther, or at least the wider and wider, the darkness or the blindness of their mind has become. They've been taught more and more theory and less truth. We've come to an age where folks go out on a campus and display their hatred of the Jewish nation. Because we taught them that. Some of us gave our money to teach them that. Some of us were taxed and we gave our money so that they could be taught that. You say, preacher, what are you getting after? Listen, I'm just going to tell you, when we get to this political thing, you know, I mean, right now we're just in the early days of it, are we not? But when people start saying things like we need to drain the swamp, when people start saying things like we need to get rid of the hidden things of dishonesty, we're building a government, folks. We have built a government. I have inherited one. My children will inherit a government that takes our money and does what it wants. And once a government that was by the people and for the people now hides everything from the people and moves forward doing whatever they want. You said, preacher, I didn't come in here to hear about politics. No, you came in here to hear the truth, but you can't handle the truth. Sometimes you come into a building and somebody will tell you the truth and you need to listen to the truth, because everybody ain't for you that says they're for you. And everybody that's soft with you and tells you sweet things and tickles your ear, they're not for you. Sometimes, the times now as a daddy that I realize my dad loved me most is when he told me some of the hardest things, the hardest truths that I ever had to hear, were the times that I realized my dad didn't want to have to tell me those things. He didn't want to have to teach me the hard truths of this life. But that's when I realized my daddy loved me most. Because sometimes I want my children to be happy and to have good days. But some days I have to be the daddy that loves my son or loves my daughter. And I have to teach them the hard truths of this life. You know, it's no different than a church. You can go to church and everything, sunshine and roses, and you come out smelling and feeling, you know, after you put all the hand sanitizer on, after the fellowship. And you smell good, you know, and you feel good about that. I feel clean, right? Because you feel better because you came to church. But was there a manifestation of the truth? You know, the truth, the Bible says that this word is like a two-edged sword that cuts us. It tells us that, I mean, listen, I'm telling you, you know, sometimes with a sharp sword, you're getting cut and you don't realize you're cut. But then all of a sudden you realize there's an opening, there's an open wound. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't get saved the first time I heard the gospel. I was in a good church, and I knew about Jesus Christ. I knew that he was the saving way. I knew that he was the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. But somehow I wasn't totally blind, but I had blinders on. Some of you don't go far enough back, but my home church, man, my pastor loved horses. And there were horses that he would, when we put horses together and tied them up together and we had plow horses, we not only had rigging on their body, but we had some things that they called blinders. Because in a field, you want the horse to look forward. You didn't want him to see all the distractions. When you're running a buggy and you're up near, you know, Pennsylvania and some here in South Florida there, you have these Amish folks and they have blinders on the horses. Because even though they hear something scary blow by them, they don't see it, how close it was to them. Because if they saw how close that car was to them, you'd see them jump all over on the shoulder of the road. But when they get used to hearing that noise and they realize it never hit them, it didn't touch them, they can walk straight on. Because it's out of their sight, out of mind. And they're blinded. Even though everything that's scary is right there beside them and it's still there, they can't see it anymore. You know what the devil's doing to this generation? He's got blinders on them. And they take their phone out and they sit right here like this. You walk into a restaurant, everybody's like this. They don't know what's going on in the real world. They're like this. You say you're preaching against the phone. No, I'm not preaching against the phone. I'm just telling you, the devil found a way to get everybody's mind. Captures us. And you wonder, how is the gospel hid today? Well, we can put it on their phone, but how many's going to look that up? How many's going to stumble across that search? Some people do. You know, some places where it's illegal, those folks start searching for the truth. Because they can look around even with blinders on and realize the truth ain't where they live. They're forced into their religion. Their religion is their government. They say, this is accidentally the truth. No, they start looking for it. That's why when we start pulling up the Gospel 90.3 register and we start finding out all these Arab countries where people have tuned in because they're seeking and hunting the truth because they know they ain't got it where they are. They don't know what it is, but they're looking for it. Folks, I'm just telling you, the Bible tells us that we have a ministry. We have a ministry. More than that, we have a message, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, risen again, and that people can accept his death, burial, and resurrection as their own payment for sin. This anniversary Sunday, you know, a lot of churches do a lot of big things for their pastor on their anniversary. But I'm blessed to have followed up a pastor who decided, I don't want a party for me. Listen, if you really want to do something for me, let's pull out all the stops. Let's invite every person we can invite and let's have people saved. Listen, I'm not asking you to bring, I'm asking you, it's my anniversary. It's my third anniversary next Sunday. I'm excited about that. I clicked off two more than most of you thought I'd last. Amen. So the least you could do is invite somebody to come with you. and let me preach the gospel. If you don't think I'm a good preacher, you could say, hey, I want you to come and hear how awful my preacher is. He's terrible. You got to hear it. Or you could say he's good. You can come hear him. You could say none of it's good, but the hamburgers are, so come. Hey, folks, you could tell them about how good the choir is. You could tell them that we're old-timey. And that I know you go to church, but you ain't never heard it like this. They ain't never changed. They're just like they used to be. They ain't changed a thing. You got to come see it like they used to do it way back in the day. Before they put blinders on everybody. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm just saying, he says a manifestation of the truth. You know, my ministry, the message, it ought to be a manifestation of Jesus Christ. There ought to be a man that can say, let me tell you, or a woman that'll tell others, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. The most powerful message throughout the book of Acts, Paul constantly said, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you who I used to be. I used to be someone had made a havoc of the church. I hated the church. I hated the name Jesus Christ. That's what Paul used to tell people. He said, but one day I was walking down the road and it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I realized the one that I was trying to serve was the one that I was persecuting. I realized the one that died for me was the one that I was trying to seek and to search out people and put them to death. And I realized that he had put himself to death for my soul. That I could never have been saved, but he took my hell and my death on himself that I might be able to have heaven. That I might be able to have a ministry. That's the man who God used to pen this book and said, therefore, we have this ministry. We have this opportunity. Because it's not in me to do this, but I have mercy. Therefore, I don't faint. Listen, can you understand who wrote this to us? A man who had been shipwrecked. A man who had been stoned. A man who had been imprisoned for his faith. And he said, mercy's enough, and I faint not. Hey, I don't know what you're struggling with, but mercy's enough today for you to continue to get the message out. And I think he goes this manifestation, how are we going to manifest? He says, in whom the God of this world. See, the God of this world manifests himself through blindness, trying to get people to believe in anything but Jesus Christ. I wonder, you know, we put signs on the front of the church because I wonder how blind are people? I mean, I see people all the time that live in our town and have been in our town, and they've been here a year and a half, and they drive by our church every day. They said, I've been looking for a church. Have you? We got a pretty big one. If you know, there was a squirrel dead right in the middle of the road. Anybody see that squirrel this morning? That guy did not make a decision. He stood in the middle. But I mean, he was laid out right in the middle of the road. I couldn't help but think, I wish that was a cat. I mean, I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, so but I mean, driving down the road and I saw that in the middle, and I thought, how many people have saw this squirrel this morning driving by here, but they never saw the church and never read the sign? Blinded to the things of God, blinded to spiritual things. Many people will drive by and say, I saw a squirrel this morning dead in the middle of the road, laid right in the middle of the lines. They'll tell so many people, that squirrel couldn't make his mind up. You know how it is. It's the most dangerous place in the world to be in the middle. Do you know there's so many people in America today that think they're partly Christian? Because they were born in a Christian nation, or their mom and daddy was Christian, or they were baptized Catholic when they were born, and they consider and take it on and say, I'm Christian. It's a dangerous place to be because it's got no personal boundary. You got nothing other than, I got some history with something that is Christian. That's not salvation. Salvation is manifest personally to each one of us. And every one of us, listen, my mom and daddy got saved, but that didn't make me saved. I've been in the church, but being in a church didn't make me a pew. It didn't make me a Christian. I had to come to a place where I chose Jesus Christ and believed on him for truth. See, the manifestation of the truth has to come to every man. And this is how it happens. The Bible says, he says, it's blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you know, I've read this scripture over and over again, and I never put two and two together, and I realize today who was writing this. And the manifestation of Jesus Christ into himself was a bright and shining light on the Damascus Road. He had been so blind of who Jesus was and what he could do and what he had done for him. But one day, this bright and shining light that blinded him shone brightly. See, he had been blind, although he could see, and the light blinded him to the world. And all of a sudden, all the spiritual things began to happen in his life. You know, as a blind man, Paul was led by the hand to the place God wanted him to be. And then he believed on Jesus Christ. He was baptized through obedience. Even though he couldn't see that he was in water, he trusted by faith that they had taken him to a body of water, right? And laid him down. And then they prayed for him and the scales fell off. And there's some preachers that don't believe he ever got his sight back the way he had it before. But I'm just going to tell you, folks, you know, I can tell you the day that I remember thinking all these things. My mind kept running. I'm saved because I prayed. I'm saved because of this. I'm saved because of that. Do you know none of those things that my mind could answer like a good conscience of my heart? When I walked down an aisle and I fell down on my face before God, realizing that I could not save myself, no works could ever save me, and that nothing I could do could save me, but Jesus could. And I remember the day I fell and I trusted nothing but him. I just dumped myself out on the altar and asked Jesus and believed on him and his finished work. It changed me. I had been religious, but now I had mercy. And mercy gave me strength that day. I remember getting up from the altar that day, and I had people say this. And now, you know, I know that it's, you know, but I realized there was something different. There was something being manifested in my life. My youth pastor said, I knew there was something different because it's like you're shining. I was beaming. It wasn't no light coming off of me. I still had my hair. I was just joyful. And you know what I was doing? I was sharing the light that I had received because I realized everyone else needed it. Can I ask you this question, Christian, this morning? There's a blind world around us. When was the last time you showed your light to others? Was it when you first got saved and you realized everybody needed what you needed? That everybody had to have Jesus or else they were going to die and go to hell? When was the last time it got to the place where you just couldn't help but share the light of Jesus Christ with others? He finishes this whole scripture with this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, the manifestation for people, they can see that something has given us power that's not ours. Power to serve, a power to quit things we could never quit before, a power to live a way that we never lived before, a power to renounce the hidden things of darkness that we never had before, but that the power was, it was a treasure inside of us. We were just the chest. But the treasure was held and kept up inside. Listen, folks, in the time that we started sharing the treasure of Jesus Christ, I want to just do this illustration. Guys, can I have this yellow mic over here in the sound booth? Thank you. When I was a Bible college student, They took us to camp one time, and they did something that was brutal to us. They thought we were all teenagers, and some of us were, some of us weren't. But I was asked to help because I was a stronger guy. Me and Brother Chad Stanley, we would hold on to people's arms, and they put all those, you know, them silver pans that they had, like they put all kinds of food in, mashed potatoes and stuff. So they took some of the students out of the room so they couldn't see what we were doing, and they made like hot macaroni and cheese stuff, right? That macaroni noodles, and they put them into pans. Then they put a bunch of them Doritos in a pan. And they had mashed potatoes in a pan. And so they would walk them in there, and they had some brains, some like pig brains, I think smell. And they had manure from a cow. And they had, like, I mean, I don't remember what the other thing was, but they had all these smells. And they blindfolded them so they couldn't see what they were actually doing. And then we led them over there, and they had made them take their shoes off and socks off, and then they stepped in that macaroni. And it was warm and gooey, and then they put them brains under their nose. And they said, "We're walking in brains." They weren't walking in brains. They were in macaroni and cheese. Then they stepped over into that crunching of those nacho cheese and those, you know, them people with delicate feet, them Dorito points were getting them. And I'm walking in glass. I'm walking in glass. It's cutting my feet up. And they weren't cutting no feet up. They were just crunching chips up. And then they stepped into that mashed potatoes and they put that manure under their nose. And some of them brand new freshman students weren't sanctified yet. And they told us what they were in. Folks, I'm telling you, do you know that even people walk through the same things, that when God pulled the blinders off for us, we have a manifestation of the truth and we can see it. But you know, some people walk the same place as we are, but they're still blind. And they fear that. They're scared to death. They're walking in things. It's going to hurt them. And we wonder why people don't want to come to church and people don't want to be a part and things like that. It's because we have to share with them. You know, Paul over and over again, and not everybody changed their mind when he shared Jesus Christ with them. Sometimes it takes, listen, I remember a statement in the book of Acts from someone who knew the Bible very well. And he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Folks, you may have witnessed to somebody else and they almost became a Christian. But sometimes it's good for us to take them back through, take the blindfold off for them and walk them back through those same things. You know, some of those students, and they went back with those pans, those things that scared them before didn't scare them anymore. It wasn't a big deal. It was just food, different things on them. It wasn't all that terrifying stuff that they thought it was. There's a whole world of people out here are scared to death about eternity. They have no idea where they're going to spend eternity. They have no hope in Jesus Christ. And somebody needs to lead them through the scary time of their life because they're blinded. Sometimes we got to help take their hand and even lead them down the aisle to a place where they can have a manifestation of the truth of Jesus Christ. Christian, we can do that. God's given us the power to do that. He's in us. His Spirit is in us and helps us lead and guide and help pull the blinders off. If you're here this morning and you don't have the Spirit of God, do you know that you could take the blinders off today? Maybe you've had the blinders taken off. Maybe you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know you could do that even this morning. That's what I did. As a 15-year-old boy, years ago, I walked down an aisle when I was invited by a preacher, and I walked down there and they showed me how I could be saved. You could do that today. And we'd love for you to do that. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, the invitation is to you. If you are saved today, maybe you need to come and pray. Ask God to help us have a great day next week. Help God to empower you and encourage you and be a manifestation of the light of Jesus Christ to others. Let's stand to our feet. The musicians are here. I'm going to pray. And as they begin to sing, you step out and come. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for our folks. God, I beg you today, if there's someone in this building that
They've had blinders on. They haven't been able to see the truth, that today they would receive the truth of Jesus Christ. I pray if there's others here that have been come to the truth, Lord, help them to renounce some things. Help them to give it to you. Lord, help them to ask to be a better witness for you this week to their families, to their loved ones, to their neighbors. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and wait, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if you're here today and don't know Christ as your Savior, I'd like to invite you to come down here and just let me take the Bible. Just come down to the front. If you're a lady, we'll get a lady to help you. And she'll take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're here today and you're a man and you don't know that heaven will be your home, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, could we help you with that? Could we show you how, because of what Jesus did, heaven could be your home? Just step out and come, as Brother Burt sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within,
heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Folks have come. Why don't you come? Why don't you come and be saved this morning? If you're here without Christ, you know, the Bible says there's only two places we can spend eternity. One of them is heaven and the other one is hell. And if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I'm sad and broken to tell you that heaven isn't where you're going to be. It's going to be hell, because every one of us were doomed for that place. But heaven was a gain to us because of Jesus Christ. And you can know him today. You can believe on him today. Why don't you step out and come, and let us show you how through the Bible. As Brother Burt sings, you step out and come.
Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight rich as he, just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Maybe you're here today and you know you ought to join this good church. You've been saved, you've been baptized, but you need to join a good church. You're not You've been here for a while. Well, you know, you could do that through just statement. Maybe if you haven't been baptized, you know, everything's prepared for you this morning. Everything's ready. If you know Christ as your Savior, you know heaven will be your home. You could join a good church. That's a first step of obedience. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saved and you said, there's something missing in my life. It's because you haven't taken the first step of obedience towards the Lord. You feel like you're stuck. You can't move on, either through the Bible or from God. You just can't. I just can't move on, preacher. You know, a lot of times what holds us up, so many people I've met, it was like an explosion. The Bible says that baptism is an answer of a good conscience. Peter says that under the inspiration of God. And none of us, we can't get past, when our conscience is against us, sometimes if we're not careful, we'll question our salvation. So why don't you just surrender to baptism? You surrendered to salvation. Salvation is pictured in baptism. That's all it is a picture. It's just something you do for God. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, and as Brother Bert sings, maybe while folks are praying for you to make a decision, why don't you step out and be baptized this morning?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let you be seated. We have something to share with you.